2024 is the year of podcasts, and we want to let you know about a brand new show that is live right now. Join with me to share the good news about the Worthy of Everything podcast. It's just one of the two hosts, Jedra Lasso. Jedra, you've been working on this podcast in the background. Our team has been very excited as we've been preparing for its launch. How does it feel to know that the episodes finally are out there and we're moving forward every single week?
It is so exciting, and I am just excited to see where God takes it. And I have so much hope that it is going to be an incredible blessing to the listeners.
Amen, amen. But as I understand it, this is a show tackling the issues of mental health through the lens of the gospel. Can you share just a little bit more about the heart and the intent and who you're really trying to serve through the Worthy of Everything podcast?
So I personally was freed from depression, and as I've come to understand my freedom from sin and identity in Christ, I start to recognize all these amazing gifts that God has given us. So yeah, just exploring and hearing awesome testimonies about how to walk out true intimacy with a loving father who pursues his kids.
Oh man, sounds like a good time. If you want to check out the show, lovereality.org/podcasts and look for the Worthy of Everything show.
The world doesn't think that the gospel can change your life, but we know that it can. And that's why we want you to hear these stories, stories of transformation, stories of freedom, people getting free from sin and healed from sin because of Jesus. This is Death to Life.
I was sitting in the back and the Uber was like, "Hey dude, like you look really depressed. What's wrong? Do you want to talk?" And I was like, "You know what, bro? Yes, I want to tell you what's going on in my life." Because in my head, I was like, this guy doesn't even know me. He's not going to judge me. Who cares? So I told him everything. Yeah, so this happened with us, with me and my relationship, and this video I had exposed. And I was just like, man, yeah, so this is everything that's going on in my life right now. So this is what my family thinks of me, my friends, the people from church, my coworkers. And this is what I think of myself too, that I'm a failure. And then he looked at me with, man, like with such a lovely face. And she was like, "Bro, what about Jesus? What do you think he thinks of you?"
Yo, welcome to the Death to Life podcast. My name is Richard Young, and today's episode is amazing. Today's episode is with my man Luigi. Last week we heard Esme, and today or this week we hear Luigi. You heard a lot of his story last week with Esme, but hearing it from his point of view and hearing about the heartbreak and loss and the newness of life is exciting. So Luigi is next. Buckle up. Strap in. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all.
It was a friend that invited me and my family to this church, to the SDA church, and we liked it. We really enjoyed it. Like, my mom, she was into it. And I was like that too. Like, I was reading my Bible. I was in all this. But for me, it was not like a real thing. Like, it was all fiction. But I really liked it. Like, I knew, like, everything.
You didn't really believe it, though?
I didn't really believe it. I know I didn't believe it because I never prayed. Like, I would pray for my food. But if you would tell me, like, "Oh, where do you find, like, this story?" Like, I would be like, "Oh, in this book." I would know everything. Like, I knew like all the answers, like in Bible trivia. I was like so good at it. But yeah, I was just doing my own stuff, like outside of church, even with my friends from church as well.
So wait, but what were you before you were invited? That God wasn't a thing in your life? It was just like whatever?
No, I heard about Jesus, but I never knew that he came here like to die for us. And yeah, no, I didn't really know that much. And my family didn't even go to church or anything like that. So it was all new for us.
So you're in this church, you like it, you're enjoying it. But you say like when you and your friends were doing stuff, what do you mean?
So like on Fridays, like we used to have Vespers, and instead of going over there, we would like go to like someone's house and like drink and like, yeah, like invite some girls over, like, and yeah, like it was like that the whole almost every Friday.
And did you feel bad about that? Did you feel like, "Oh, this is something I shouldn't be doing now that you were in the church," or was it just, "Now this is what we do"?
Yeah, no, I didn't feel bad because like I was doing it with, especially I was doing it because I was like, okay, like this is fine. If the people from church are doing it and they've been here like their whole lives, then I don't think it's that bad.
Dang. That's sad, right?
Yeah, I know. This is going to be funny, but I was just telling a friend, Andy, he just gave his life to God. And so I was telling him like, hey, bro, do you remember like when we were little, like when we used to go to the Pathfinder clubs and we didn't have any Wi-Fi, but we used to download some stuff that it was bad, but we showed to each other. And it was funny. And like, we were just like saying how, I was like, bro, and then we got older and we used to go to your house and drink there. And look at us now, you know, how God took us from all that.
Wow. But
yeah, no. So for me, it was not that bad because I was doing it with friends from church. So I thought like we were all like in the same page. So it was not a big deal.
Who was God when you thought about him?
Ooh, it's going to sound funny. I will say like the universe, because I believe there was something there. Like there was something powerful, because I never believed like in the Big Bang or anything like that. I was like, there's no way that like this beautiful trees, animals like us, like I don't believe that we were just created just like out of nowhere. But I was like, yeah, like I'm pretty sure there's some kind of power. And if you do something wrong, something bad is going to happen to you, and karma is going to come and trying to mess you up, like trying to attack you or something. Yeah,
you believed in God and you also believed in karma.
Yeah, I mean, I thought like that came from God. Like,
if you believe in karma, do you believe that God is? I don't know.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. It's funny because one time I started like feeling this, I was feeling this pain on my ankle. And I was like, bro, I got that pain because I was making fun of this girl that was walking funny. And I was like, okay, like it was the universe that did that to me. I guess it's my fault for making fun of this girl that is walking. Yeah, like different. And so I was like, okay, yeah. Like,
I think about this story all the time. We were at a basketball tournament, me and my basketball team in high school. And we all were staying in the same room and we were all just talking about stuff. And the homie that had a girlfriend and was sexually active, he was like, I know that if I have sex the night before a basketball game, I'm not going to play well because God is going to, like, he's going to withhold something or.
That's like a footy. I thought he was
like, what? I think I don't know if I believed him, but I was like, is that a thing? And when I don't have sex before the game, I play better. It was probably all mental. I think obviously it was mental. I don't think God's just like, punishment here. You will not shoot well from the 3-point line if you have sex with your girlfriend. But if you don't, you're going to hit a higher percentage. That's what we would believe, huh? We were weird about that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
Dog.
But man, like what made you want to start a podcast? Like, I know you've been doing it for a while. Like, I've been listening to a lot of them. I remember the first one, it was Eddie's. And by that time, I was back at home and I was doing DoorDash. So I was listening on the way, like when I was like working and stuff. And by the end, I was just crying. Like, and when I got home, I told my parents, like, I was like, yo, like this man, like got saved. I was like, man, like this guy, he was a pastor and everything. And yeah, I'm pretty sure he knew so much about the Bible, but that was not going to save him. And man, like I'm starting to be a pastor too. So I, like on my first quarter here, I felt like I was getting a little distant from God. And I was just telling God, like, why is that? Like, why am I feeling like that? If when I was back at home, I was like on fire for you. And now I feel like a little distant. And then he told me that, man, like you use your Bible, you open your Bibles to do your homework, your assignments, but that's not our time. And man, that's when it clicked. I was like, man, like even I can know so much about the Bible. I can answer all this. I can get pretty deep into all theology, but it's something else. It's not the same thing as having a relationship with him. And even until like now, I still learn a lot of stuff.
That's powerful, bro, because like now what do I do this all the time. I do this every day. I'm having Bible studies at least 3 times a week. I'm doing podcasts. I'm meeting and talking with people. Wow. And if I'm not alone in the secret place, like I can get all sorts of weird. Because doing ministry is not spending time with God. Doing ministry is doing ministry. And it's good, and we should tell people about what he's done and pour into people. But there's something about getting alone with God, right?
Oh, just yeah.
Getting in the room, closing the door, and hearing his heart.
Yeah, I know for sure. I was, yeah, like maybe 2 months ago, it was sad. I fell into my, I don't want to say my old addiction, but into pornography. And I was just like so sad because it was, I haven't done it for maybe over a year. And I was like, why did this happen? I mean, that reminded me that I need Jesus every day. Yes, I'm free from sin and I can walk with that freedom. But at the end of the day, I still need him because we're the light of the world, but we're still surrounded by darkness. So they're still going to try to come for us. So I still need to grab his hand like all the time. I don't know. That's something that that kind of helped me to stay in a connection with him.
We have these familiar patterns that can, I don't think I need a book or something to remind me of what it was like to fall into those old patterns. That's locked in there. Like how feeling sorry for myself will lead to then all of these excuses start coming up in my mind where you start rationalizing and making small decisions, and you never think, oh, I'm going to go back and look at something stupid. You're just little by little making small rationalizations. Oh, I deserve this. Oh, this happened. Da, 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 da. I don't need any practice. I did that for many years when to fall back into or fall into something I shouldn't be doing. And so there's no doubt that it wouldn't take, it's not like it wouldn't take much. Those patterns would be very, it'd be like riding a bike. I would know exactly where to go in my mind to rationalize, to end up doing something that I didn't want to do. So when that happens, when you got to be honest, right? There has to be some honesty. Like when something is going on in your mind that before would lead you down a certain path, right? Like, oh, I'm just going to watch this movie and this, I'm not watching this movie because there's this scene in it, but you know, there is that scene in it and you start not being honest. If you're really being honest with yourself, moving with integrity, you would know, are you watching this movie because that scene is in it? And then, but what you do is you say, I quit this mindset. You know, you don't make a big deal out of it. Because if you make a big deal out of it, you're fighting this defeated foe already. You just say, I quit. No, that's not me anymore.
Yeah.
And you go the other way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you're good. But, and this is just some encouragement to you, bro. Don't fight against it. Because fighting against it, and I said this the other night, it's like throwing a log on the fire of addiction. Addiction works really well against somebody who's fighting against it. That's why when we know we're free from and dead to sin, it's like we watch a thought come in our mind and then watch it leave.
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, I see that thought. I'm good. That's not me. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to fight it. But nah, man, it's important stuff. So as you're a teenager and you're growing up, you're in the church, God is the universe. What happens as you become a later teenager and what direction was your life heading?
So my family, just me, my mom, and my sister, we moved here. And wait, quick question. I don't know if this is going to be a dumb question, but are we going to start? Well, like you're going to let me know when we're going to start, right?
Dog, we started like a half hour. It's 23 minutes ago. We've been on the podcast, bro.
I thought we were just like talking right now.
We'll have this stuff in there. I mean, I think this stuff is helpful.
Okay. I thought you just wanted to get to know me for a little bit.
I do want to get to know you. And so do the listeners of the Death Alive podcast, bro.
Okay.
Hey, if you go back to season 1, you hear Tyler in the intro And he's like, are we going to start the podcast? And I say, man, we've been on the podcast, bro. And then you hear Morgan laughing. I don't know if you've ever heard any of those.
Yeah.
But so many people have that reaction.
Okay. Okay, what was your question again? Sorry,
You're good, dude. So you're in your later teenage years, and you're in church, but God is the universe. You don't know what he's really... What happened, man, as you were moving forward in life?
Okay, so I used to have like a big addiction of pornography. It was really bad. Like since I was seven years old, I got exposed. And since then, like I started like... I wanted to be curious and stuff. And some stuff. And, you know, when I got here, when me and my family moved here,
where'd you
from Peru.
You're Peruvian?
Yeah, I'm Peruvian.
So here in Eddie's story, you're like, oh, bless paisan.
Yeah, he's my paisano.
Yeah.
Yeah, we came all the way from over there. And yeah, I got, my grandma gave me this iPad. And because of that, man, all doors were open and I was more exposed in other stuff. So dude, I never thought I was gonna get free from that because I really consider myself as addicted to it.
For sure.
Because I was like, man, like I don't wanna be addicted to this. I never wanted to be addicted to anything. I wanted to stop, you know, maybe for a week. I was trying to challenge myself and trying to stop for a week and I couldn't. Then I tried 3 days, 1 day, and I couldn't. So I was like, it's fine. I'm not hurting anybody. Like, I don't have a wife or anything like that. So it's okay. Like, it's fine.
And that's how addiction works, right?
Oh.
We start bargaining with it. And that's what I was talking about. You're throwing like wood on the fire of your addiction when you're counting days. Because like maybe you go a lot of days and then you mess up. And the depression hits you like none other, right? You're like, oh, man, I thought I was over it. Mm-hmm. And then this thought comes in, and this is part of addiction. This thought isn't God. This is part of addiction. Oh, I figured it out. How many times have you heard the thought, oh, I figured it out, to then fall within 2 weeks? Because the I figured it out thought is a log on the fire of addiction.
Yeah.
And you start playing these little games. That's why, anyway, keep going, bro.
Yeah, no.
Talk about this for a long time, but keep going.
Yeah, no, it was bad. Like, it was really bad. Like, I really thought I was not going to stop. But then I started dating Esme, Esmeralda, and dude, I cut it off. I was like, wow, that wasn't like too bad. I guess I'm not addicted to that. And dude, maybe like after a year, we started being like intimate. Uh-huh. And I was like, man, like I wanted to wait until marriage, even though I never... believing God before that, I didn't have a relationship with him. Like, I wanted to wait because I always heard that you want to wait for the right person for your future wife. So I wanted to do it for myself. So I was like a little disappointed, but I was like, okay, you know what? It's fine. Like, she's going to be my future wife. So it's fine. And yeah, even though I was not watching like porn anymore, but I was having now a different addiction, which was like sex. And it was bad, man. Like, our first year was, like, so wonderful. And because of that, like, that really ruined it. Because we both wanted to wait. And we knew it was not okay. And so that really ruined our relationship. And also, man, like, other stuff, too. Like, how I was telling you. Like, I didn't care how much I would drink. And, yeah, I would do it with my friends from church. Like, I would, even though, like, I was part of my church, like, being a deacon, helping with the sound system, having, like, sermons. But I was having that problem as well with alcohol. Also, my dad, so it's a long story, but my dad, like, did so many wrong, like, so many bad stuff in the past. Like, my parents were always, like, breaking up and getting back together. So I was just having this anger and, like, this, like, resentment like towards him. And so I was just holding all that. But I was telling you, 2019 came and October, it was just like a really bad month. Now I can see it as a blessing, but it was a really bad month.
Before we get to that month, right quick, when like you first made like this mistake and you and Esme were intimate, did you What did you think about God in that sense? Were you just, I can't talk to this dude, or I can't? What did all of that mean to you?
Ooh. I used to see God in Esme. Like, that's what made her, like, so different from other people, from other girls. And I wanted that. And I really wanted that. So when I started dating her, I started, like, reading my Bible more, trying to let go of some other stuff too because of her, because I knew she was into God and I knew she had a relationship with God. And so I wanted to make her feel proud and tell her, like, yeah, like, I'm on the same page. And so for me, I didn't have a relationship with God, but I guess I wanted one because how I said, like, Esme was so different and I wanted that. Like, I wanted that from her as well. So I felt really bad because after a year, like, I kind of, like, pushed her from the faith. Like, I was not good.
It was your fault that all this had happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because then she stopped, like, reading her Bible. Maybe she would still do it, but it was not, like, as before. And then, yeah, like, we started, like, being more intimate. Like, we started taking stuff that weren't okay. And then she would start listening to music that I knew, like, she would not listen to that before. So I was like, oh, wow, I'm turning her into another person that I don't want her to be. But I guess we still have God because we will go to church and we will serve at church. Like, she was the youth director and I was just her. I was just there to help her out with whatever, being part of church.
Did she know about your, like, the drinking?
I never really told her about it. Maybe I told her that I will go and drink with some of my friends. I don't know if she knew that I will do it with some friends from my church, but no, I didn't really talk to her about it because I felt
that. Did you want to stop that, or were you just, this is not even a big deal?
Yeah, no, just like pornography. Like, I didn't want to stop it. Like, I didn't want to stop drinking because it was just fun. It was just fun for me. I don't think I was ever, like, addicted to that, but it was just super fun. But when I started dating her, I was like, okay, I need to stop doing this because I know this is not okay. And if I keep doing this, she's going to leave me. That's what made me also want to stop, like, porn and alcohol. So because of her.
So it's like you meet this sweet girl and you love her and you're like, man, I got to get my life together because she's great. Things hit the fan. And now you're like, oh, like, the things that I was so attracted to and loved about her, now they're leaving and it's my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. It really was my fault. Yeah. Mm.
I'm just talking about how you were feeling. It was not your fault.
Yeah, no, I really.
let's make sure we understand that, bro. Like, we are all free agents and we all have a choice, but that's how you were feeling.
Yeah, like, I felt really bad, but at the same time, I liked it too. I was like, okay, you know what? Like, at least she doesn't have to feel bad if we have sex. And so it was okay. Plus, like, she was the youth director.
Sure.
I mentioned. Yeah. No, she was also doing good stuff. It was not just all bad stuff. Like,
so
she was serving God.
It's a weird mixture, right? Because it sounds double-minded. And I want to make sure, I know I just said it's not your fault. You for sure had an influence, right? And that's why our influence is so important. But what the enemy would want is to lie to you to say, you're trash. He wants this double-minded. He wants this confusion. He is the master of unreality. He's the master of lies. And so this just feels, you tell me if I'm wrong, like just a super confusing jumble that you're living in and dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I was just kind of like, was being the bad boyfriend during that time. Like, I was not helping her to grow, like, with her relationship with God. And so, yeah, 2019 October it came, and man, so many things happened, like, back to back. The first thing, it was that my family went through probably the hardest time, and it was that my dad ended up coming here to the U.S. My mom gave him another chance, and he ended up coming here. And yeah, my dad, he did so many bad things in the past, but this time, like, he crossed the line. Like, it was so bad. Like, it was he did something very illegal. And I really thought he was going to go to prison. But my mom just told him, like, you know what? You're going to have to go back to Peru and stay over there. And because of that, I was just like, man, like, I really hope, like, he goes to prison, like, in some time. And I hope that they can, the people from there can hurt him, because I used to have, like, so much anger for him. But that time, like, it was not anger anymore. Like, it was hate. And man, I remember my room was, like, so bad because I really destroyed everything, like, all my posters that I had when I found out what happened in my family. I'm not a person that throws things around when I, like, when it gets mad, but that time I was just like, man, like, why would he do that again? And I was just so mad. And a week after that, I was telling you, like, me and Esme wanted to stop, like, being intimate because we knew it was not okay. And we really tried everything. We tried fasting. We tried challenging ourselves. And I told her, like, you know what? I was like, what if we start recording ourselves? Like, maybe instead of doing it, we just watch it. Something really dumb. And I was like, you know what? Maybe that's going to help us. And yeah, we started recording ourselves. And it didn't really help, man. And so, dude, one night, and to this day, I don't know how, but that one of the videos got exposed, dude, on Snapchat. And this was in 2019. So Snapchat back then, it was like popular. And
yeah, it was popping.
And yeah, like back then, like everyone would use it. And even though that video was probably out for 5 minutes, like that was enough for everyone to know what happened. And dude, I thought Esme was going to leave me, but nah, she didn't. But man, like everyone like found out, like my family, the church, my friends from church, my friends from school, my coworkers. And it was just like so bad, dude, because it didn't matter where I would go, but everyone knew about it. Wow. And so, dude, like it was terrible.
She told that story last, your episode is airing right after her episode. Her episode came out last week. And she said that she just lost her mind, was so angry at you. When this goes down and you realize it's been out for 5 minutes and like people have called you and are trying to be like, yo, bro, like I'm sure some homies were trying to like, bro, what did you just want the earth to swallow you up? What was
dude? Yeah, dude. That night I ended up going home. And so one of my friends, Andy, he ended up going to my house because he knew about it. And he was like, bro, do you need someone to talk to? Man, like, he's such a good friend. And I was just, yo, I was like, dude, like, for some reason, I wouldn't sleep for 2-3 years and then wake up when everything's fine. So I was like, yo, like, I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't know what my family's going to say, like my church, my friends, her family. Yeah, I want to die and then resurrection.
When this is all over.
Yeah, no. So
the aftermath, were people, was it the worst possible? Like all your fear, did it come true or was it?
Oh, yeah,
with
no.
Your expectation?
No, it was way worse than I imagined because my church, the elders, ended up finding out. And so they told me, hey, we're going to have a meeting with you, like with the church, and we want to just talk to you and see what we're going to do with this situation. Like, I was really sad because no one from my church came to talk to me, like to have a prayer or like just tell me like, hey, like, you know, everything's fine. Like, God forgave you. Like, you know, or he loves you or like something. Like, no one. And like, it was totally the opposite. Like, one of the elders, like, he came up to me. He was like, bro, like, I'm really disappointed in you. It was just, like, really sad. And, yeah, so I wasn't too sure if I wanted to go to this meeting. I was like, I don't think I want to go. For what? But then my mom was just telling me, like, hey, maybe you should go. Just do it for me. And because of what was happening with my family, I was like, you know what? Like, I feel bad for my family because like they're going through this and like I'm over here like making it worse. So the least I can do is just like, go and have this meeting. And man, like I knew it was going to be on a Saturday afternoon. And during that time, like not that many people come. And so our church, probably like 10, 12 people will go there. But when I went to church, dude, I saw so many cars, bro, in the parking lot. Bro, yeah.
And they want that tea.
Bro, and it was not even for like a sermon or anything like that. Like I don't remember the last time I saw that many people, bro. And I was like, okay, maybe they're not going to be in the meeting. But dude, when I entered my church, like I saw so many people, dude. Like I was expecting maybe like 5 or 10. But all the elders, like pastors, like our friends, like everyone like that were close to us, like were there. And so, yeah, like we end up like talking to them and telling them like that we were sorry. We just apologized. We were like, it was really humiliating. It was really sad. Like I saw Esme crying, her mom crying, my family crying, dude. It was just like bad, dude. I was just like, bro, why?
What was the purpose?
For my church to not have a bad reputation. Because I asked them too, what was the purpose of this? And like, they were saying like, hey, like you guys are like leaders from this church. So you guys are representing us. So the least that you guys can do is apologize. And for us to, for the church to feel good. And yeah, at the end, like they were telling us, hey, because of you guys are not going to participate at church for a while. I think it was like half a year. And yeah, like it was sad. Yeah, it was sad.
Do you think it fulfilled its purpose? Do you think?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. That made me feel even worse because I was like, okay, like, yeah. Now, like, I don't want to go to any church anymore. If this is who God is, I don't want to know God anymore. Like, I'm pretty sure there's, like, someone there, like, looking over us, but I don't think he's a good person or else no one here would have allowed this. And it's sad because even at my job, too, like, as I was planning to leave my job, a lot of people knew about it. And I remember, like, I was in the back, like in the kitchen. And dude, like, some people started coming out of nowhere and they were just telling me like, hey, it's okay. Like things happen. Other people would tell me like, hey, dude, like I went through the same thing. Like something like that happened to me. And other people were just telling me like, hey, it's okay. We all did dumb stuff, blah, blah. I never received that at my church. I received that at my job, but not in my home church.
Okay, we want to take a little break right here, and I want to tell you guys, thank you for supporting the Death to Life podcast, and I want to ask you to keep on supporting so that we can put these episodes out. Go to lovereality.org and donate to the Death to Life podcast. You are a huge blessing to us. If you donate or not, you're a huge blessing to us, but partner with us so we can get this gospel getting out there to the people. Let's get back to the episode.
So yeah, no, it didn't help at all because after that, like me and Esme like continue being intimate. Maybe it took us a while because it was still like everything was still like fresh. But maybe after 2 months, like we were just doing our own thing again. So no, it didn't help at all. Not at all. When all this was happening, that's when Esme took me to Placerville and she was like, hey, maybe we don't have to go there and maybe we can start our new life in a different church. And so for me, it was just like, I don't know, like I want to know God, but maybe not in a church because everyone probably already knows. Probably everyone from Placerville probably already knows too. And yeah, man, like it's just like bad. But I remember that Leif took us to Chick-fil-A because he heard about it. I think Esme told him what happened. And so he took us to Chick-fil-A. And dude, he was just like there with us. I honestly like don't remember what he said to us, but it was just nice like having someone there having someone there. And it felt good and a little sad at the same time, because I was like, dude, like, this guy is not even from our church and like he cares for us. That was the good and sad part. But I was just happy that he was just there with us. Yeah, but man, like, in the same month after what happened with the video, a week after that, Esme starts telling me like, hey, like, I'm starting to feel a little nauseous. I don't know what it is. And I was like, bro, no, there's no way. And then like, she was telling me like, dude, like, I've been feeling like some symptoms, like, it's not looking good. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Let's get you a test. So she got tested and bro, it came positive. So dude, I'm not going to lie. I was happy. I know bad things are happening right now, but during that time, like, I forgot about everything. And I was like, wow, like, damn, like, I'm heck of a young, but I was happy that, you know, that me and Esme were going to start a family. And dude, at the same time, I was super scared, like super nervous. And I could tell that she was really nervous too. And we were thinking about it, like, if we should keep it or not because of everything that was happening. And man, I wasn't too sure either. I was happy in a way, but really nervous. I wasn't too sure if I wanted to go through more stuff. And also because, yeah, we were really young too. And I know that shouldn't be an excuse. That was our fault. But dude, like during that time, like it was just too much. I wasn't ready. Like I didn't.
You're scared, bro.
Yeah, I was really scared. I was scared. And yeah, we made that decision of not having it. And dude, it really affected us, man. It was like, I was really sad and everything, but it really got to her. And I totally understand her because she was the one that had to sacrifice. I had to be like, okay, like I'm going to take this in order for not to have the baby. And I was just sad because I wish I could do it. I could have done it for her, but all I could have done was just like to be with her. And man, yeah. So because of that our relationship got worse. We were having more problems and it was like that every week. And the only way like we will have a solution was like to have sex. But after that, like we would start getting into an argument. And yeah, it was not a healthy relationship. But man, during all this is happening, I don't know why, but I had to take an Uber. I had to take an Uber and the drive was probably for 30 minutes. And I was sitting in the back and the Uber was like, hey, dude, like you look really depressed. What's wrong? Do you want to talk? And I was just like, you know what, bro? Yes, I want to tell you what's going on in my life. Because in my head, I was like, this guy doesn't even know me. He's not going to judge me. Plus, everyone knows. Who cares what I tell him? So I told him everything, what happened. And I told him like, yeah, so this happened with us, was me and my relationship. And this video I had exposed. And I was like, dude, like, it's bad. I don't think the Uber driver like was ready for all that. But man, so we got to my destination and then like he stopped working for a while and then he was still listening to me and I was just like, man, yeah, so this is everything that's going on in my life right now. So this is what my family thinks of me, my friends, the people from church, my coworkers. And this is what I think of myself too, that I'm a failure, that I'm a person that just finished, like, just end up someone's life. And really messed up, like, Esma's life, too. And then it just he looked at me with such a lovely face. And he was like, bro, what about Jesus? What do you think he thinks of you? And, bro, I was not expecting that question. Like in my head, I was like, wait, who's this guy to tell me about Jesus? I know about Jesus so much. I don't need this. And in my head, I was just like, you know what? If all these people are judging me, I'm pretty sure Jesus is thinking the same thing as them. So I was like, he's probably judging me even more. And then he tells me, bro, Jesus loves you. Like, he loves you a lot. And dude, at that moment, I felt it. Like, even though I heard that phrase so many times, that Jesus loves you, that Jesus loves everyone. But at that moment, dude, like, I was like, wow. I was like filled with so much love. I couldn't explain it. Like, it was my first time experiencing that love and that, and this peace that I knew everything was going to be okay. And then he just started prophesying over me. He just starts telling me like, hey, like, this is going to be a testimony in your life. You're going to go and tell what God did for you. And you're going to help so many people like to get closer to God. And then he prayed for me. He prayed for me 3 times. The first time it was just for my identity. He prayed for me, for God to talk to me. Then he prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he prayed for me and Esme and our future. And dude, at that moment, I was just like, wow, like, I was not expecting this. And when I was about to close the door, like, he tells me, bro, I'll see you in heaven. And so in my head, I was like, wait, is he an angel or something? I don't know. But all I know is that Jesus sent this person to talk to me. And because of that, I was like, wow, like, I want to get to know Jesus. I was like, I don't want to go to a church because I'm pretty sure like everyone's going to be just like my church. But I want to get to know him like in my personal time, like at home or at school, like I would try to get to know him. So dude, because of Esme, like how I was telling you, she took me to Placerville. So man, I was just like, wow, like I think I'm going to stay here at Placerville. Like I'm going to stay here and we're going to do so many things here. But dude, I really feel like God was telling me to go back to my church. And I didn't want to because first I couldn't even participate. And I had that really bad reputation. So I didn't want to go there. But I was just praying to God and I was like, let me know, please, if you really want me to do this, because if it's your will, like I'll do it. And so I ended up going back to my church and start serving there. So I started helping out with Vespers, our Friday night programs. And at first it was a little challenging because all the people, like all my friends, were just like, what? Like, why are you acting all like a Christian now? Why are you acting a little different now? And I'm pretty sure like some of my friends that I used to drink with, like probably thought about that too. And I wasn't trying to do something to show them like that I changed, but I was just being me now. Like this time I didn't have to pretend that I was a Christian, how I was doing it back then. Like this time I was just like, it's Jesus that lives in me now. So if you see me, like you're going to see Jesus. And little by little, people starting to know that I was being serious with my relationship with God. And yeah, like I started serving there. But the one thing that it was still hard for me to let go was sex. Because when I got to know the love of Christ, everything else was like really easy to let go. Like porn, I was telling you, alcohol, music, like all those stuff like were easy to let go. But I was like, I don't know if I can stop this. Like I couldn't. And so, man, like, I felt like I was stuck in this cycle. I call it like the cycle of sin. And it was that I was like good with Christ, but then like I will fall into temptation. So I will feel like with so much like guilt and condemnation. And so I had to beg God for forgiveness and it will take me days for me to feel like good again. And then like I will start talking to God again and reading my Bible again. And then the same thing all over. I will fall back into temptation and feel guilty. And man, I was just like in that cycle for a whole year. And it was like that every single week. And I was like, man, like, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Like, I'm so tired of being stuck in this cycle. of not being able to talk to Jesus for a while. So in 2021, around April, it was just like, I was just in my room and I forgot what song I was listening to, but I just remember the lyrics really hit me and I paused the music. I got into my knees and I just told God, Lord, like, I don't want to be in this cycle anymore. Free me from this. And I'm sorry if I had never told you this, but here's my life. Like, I'm all yours. And dude, and since then, I didn't know what happened. I felt like with so much joy, like it was different. Like I didn't feel like condemned anymore. If I will fail, like I will hear like someone telling me like, it's okay. Get back up. We're going to continue doing this. It was not the same anymore. Like I was, even though, not going to lie to you, there were some times that I would still fall back into sexual temptation, but I wouldn't feel like I'm dead anymore. And bro, that really helped, but I wanted to be free from that. I was like, okay, like I know I'm listening to the Holy Spirit more, but I want to be completely like done with this. And so after I gave my life to Christ in my room, like a week after, I end up like hearing a voice like telling me to be a pastor. I don't know why. I don't know why. I was already studying to be a physical therapy. And I wasn't too sure. I was like, I don't think this is for me. I think this are my own thoughts. I don't want to do it. And I was like, just like telling God to give me signs after signs. And dude, I was getting all of them. And I was like, yo, like, if I'm asking God for signs and he's giving me all of those signs, like, I need to do this and just like walk in faith. And so I was like, okay, let me look for a school. So I ended up finding a PUC, end up coming over here. After a while, I told one of my professors, I was like, professor, I have this problem with sexual temptation and I don't want to have that anymore. Like I was trying to look for an advice and he tells me, dude, like I went through that too. And the only thing that helped me out was to get married, bro. And at that time I was like, bro, there's no hope for this. Then I was like, bro, like what? So you're telling me, I was happy that he was being like real with me. Like I was happy that he didn't lie and he told me to do this and that. But I was like, bro, like if you're a professor and you couldn't, like, how am I supposed to be free from this? I was like, well, okay, I'm going to keep on praying, but I don't know. Like, I don't want to deal with this until we get married. And dude, it was not until one day, it was one night that I was talking to Leif, to Pastor Leif. And so he was just asking me how I was doing. And I was like, I'm doing good. Even though like deep inside of me, like I wanted to get rid of sexual temptation. But then I ended up telling him like, hey, like I struggle with this. And I know you talk about freedom from sin. And I believe that, but for some reason I can't let this go. So I don't, how I was telling you, Richard, like that's why I texted you and asking you like, am I free from sin? Because I still deal with this. So I didn't believe for a second. I wasn't like too sure if I was free from that. And what he asked me was, why do I do that? Like, why do I have a keep going into that sin? And so I just saw him like, whoa, maybe I don't see like something really bad because we're going to get married. So by this time we're engaged, me and Esmeralda. And the lie from the enemy was different now because this time it was like, oh, you know what? It's not a big deal because you're going to marry her now. So it's okay. And so I told him like, I think it's just fine because we're going to get married. And I don't do it because I'm being selfish, but it's because I love her. And that's one way for me to show her love. And something that he said was like, dude, love is patient. Love is self-control. And I read that like before and I was like, whoa. I was like, whoa, that's real love. What I've been giving her, what, that wasn't love. Like this whole time I really thought that was for me, that was one thing for me to show her love. But I wasn't giving her that. And dude, it clicked, dude. When he prayed for me, dude, I really felt like someone got like a bucket of cold water and just poured it on me. I was just like, wow. So I told Esme about it. I apologized. I was like, hey, Esme, I don't know how this is going to sound. You might get upset with me right now, but I haven't been showing you love when we're intimate with each other. And I really thought she was going to get mad at me, but dude, she was just like telling me that I was right. She was like, yeah, dude. She started apologizing too. She was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't been showing you the real love. And yeah, because man, at that moment it clicked that if we don't have the love of God, if we don't know what love is, we cannot give that to our partner or to our friends. And man, that night we prayed and we were free from that, bro. We were free from that. And dude, like, it's just so wonderful, bro, because like, now I'm able to hold my friends here at school, because some people would tell me before being free from this, other people would like tell me like, hey, like I'm struggling with sexual temptation. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite. So I would tell them like, hey, yeah, me too. So would you like to pray together? Maybe we can help each other out. But yeah, like I couldn't help other people. But after that night, I was able to help so many people the day after, because the day after, like 3 people came to me and telling me that they were having a sexual temptation and they were falling into a sexual temptation with their partner. And bro, like, it's funny because I didn't have to wait until 2 months or a few months to see if I was actually free from that. I knew I was free from that. And bro, I was able to pray for them and tell them what real love is. And it's just so beautiful to see how God has helped me and has helped Esme as well. Like, she's such a woman of God and I really admire her. And just seeing how my family also changed too, because how I told you, my dad did something bad. He ended up going back to Peru. And during that time, that's where God found him and my mom. He ended up coming back to the U.S. And dude, now they're doing ministry together. They're having Bible studies at their house. And bro, it's just beautiful because like when I was growing up, I would see like a lot of verbal and physical abuse. I would have to see like my mom getting punched. It was just so many bad stuff. And now like seeing my parents like doing ministry together, like praying over others. It's just like something else, man. Like, something else, like now what God did in my life too. I never thought I was going to get free from that. And I'm proud to say that, like, I'm proud in a good way of saying, wow, look at what God did like to us. Like, I never thought I was going to be free from porn and he freed me from that. I never thought I was going to be free from alcohol and he freed me from that too. And I never thought I was going to get free from our sexual temptation. He helped us, man. He loved us. Like, he never condemned us. Like, he never looked in a different way. So, bro, dude, like, he changed our lives.
So powerful, bro. Lust is lust. And God bless whoever told you that they have to get married. But if you're lusting for your girlfriend, then you'll end up lusting for your wife. And lust is not good. It's objectifying somebody for your own desire. Sex and lust are not the same thing. So if you are lusting after your girlfriend and then you get married and now you're lusting after your wife, it's still about you. It still isn't about them. It's still not about them. And bro, I know you're getting married here in a month and a half or so.
Yeah.
When you're married, like, the sex that you will experience isn't going to be, it's about you guys. It's not, you're not taking from her. She's not taking from you. You're experiencing something together. And it's not lust. It's not objectifying. It's not a body. It's a human being who you love. And in that way, it's not going to be the same. it's not going to be the same as it was. Because there's that fear like, oh, we've ruined that. You know what? Tell the enemy to kick rocks if he comes with that. Say, we're new creations. Everything in us is new. The old is gone. The new has come. And we are in Christ. And this is a celebration of our marriage. Not, I'm taking from you. You're taking from me. Your body is my body. So whatever. It's going to be a completely new thing, man. And you're not, it's not satisfying an itch that you couldn't scratch when you weren't married and now you can scratch it. Whatever, man. That's such a low bar. That's like the bare minimum of what sex even is. You know what I'm saying? You don't have an itch and now you're going to get married and finally itch gets scratched. No, dude. It's about you guys. It's actually about love.
Yeah.
Not seeking your own, laying your life down, sharing something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. That was one of the reasons why I didn't want to have sex with someone, because I wanted to wait until marriage, because I always heard that there was going to be a bigger blessing if you wait until marriage. So I was like, okay, if I really want this big blessing, like I must wait. And when I fell into that, I was like, oh, dang, like, I'm not going to get that blessing anymore. Maybe I'll get a little blessing, but it's not going to be it. Like, it's
the same. Can we talk about that, what the blessing of sex is? Because if you think that the blessing is going to be, if we might get weird and have our expectations for this thing, okay? The blessing of sex is intimacy. It's actually sharing who you are and everything from the depth of who you are to the depth of who they are. It's sharing. Okay. Why is it that impossible to have that kind of intimacy if you're not married? Because there is no commitment. It's fake commitment. Like right now you're engaged, right?
Yes.
What you have right now is a commitment that you will get married, but it isn't actually a commitment because you could call Esme right now and call off the marriage. So it's not actual commitment. When you're married, there will be this commitment. I have consecrated this thing to you. It's actual marriage. It's, you're not getting up. You're not leaving forever. It's commitment. And with that commitment, you can actually share from the depths of who you are. Because before, you can't actually share because what if they don't like this? And what if they don't like that? What if they don't like my body? What if they could just get up and leave? And so there's fear around it. And so instead of actually bringing what it's supposed to bring, this blessing of intimacy, there's more questions. There's more concern. Someone could leave and it doesn't actually give that blessing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you think the blessing of it, like when you get married, is going to be, and man, I'm not trying to be rated R, but like a better feeling or a deeper, it's your mindset shift of, what we actually have now is unity, because sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Because when you're joining with somebody, like you're joining to the depths of who you are. And the reason why it's a sin against your own body, it's because you're joining with someone that you aren't supposed to be joined to at that time, or a prostitute. That's what Paul's bringing this up in 1 Corinthians, right? That he says sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And what they're talking about is that the Corinthians were joining together with prostitutes. They were being intimate and joining with a prostitute, bringing into their body and them into the prostitute's body. That's why it's a sin against yourself. So as you go into your marriage, bro, the blessing is going to be real and true intimacy because it's now available to you because of your commitments.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no. That's what I really experienced on the one night that me and Esme prayed to be set free from that. Because I really thought, oh yeah, we might get a blessing, but it might be like a really tiny blessing. And that's a really good question of what you asked me, like, what was a blessing for me? And that thing for me was just like to have a nice, like, house, like to get like money and to have a good family. But yeah, that when we prayed that, I felt like God was telling us like our real blessing, what our real blessing was. And it was what you explained to be with us, to make us one. And now I can't wait for that, dude.
It's going to be awesome. And dog, you guys are a testimony, a ministry to me, a testimony to me that God has just loved you guys really well. And just hearing your heart this afternoon as you're sharing this, man, the sincerity of who you are. And man, it's huge, man. And because this thing was like, none of this was easy, man. That, like, just playing this, like, it sucked. But God is going to take and has been taking and is taking what was meant for all of this terrible stuff. And you're a blessing in my life, and you're going to be a blessing in many people's lives to come. Amen. Think about Lathan, Kenya, man. When, as I've recorded these podcasts back to back, and I was talking to Eddie about it just this afternoon, and I told him I was going to interview you for the podcast, and we're just thinking about Lathan, Kenya. And if you've heard Lathan, Kenya's story,
bro,
there's some heartbreak in there, dog. Heartache, bro, and pain. And look at their lives now, bro. Look at their lives now that they poured into you. And they poured into Esme and the other people that they're pouring into. Man, I'm just praising, as I'm hearing your story, I'm praising God for what he did in their life because of what he's done in your life and what it's going to continue to do in the people's lives that are hearing this episode and that you're going to minister to in the future, man.
Man, yeah. Thanks, bro. Yeah, it's going to be like, this is already such a blessing, dude. Like being able to share what God did for us. Just incredible. And to see like how also my family, it's just how my family are doing now. It's just beautiful to see that. Beautiful to see like how God changed me. God changed Esme. Bro, it's only God can do that.
This is how we usually end the podcast like this, man. And I don't know if you've heard enough episodes, but I want to take you back to the night you're at this meeting or whatever. And you take off from the Sociedad de Jóvenes and you go home and you're just sick to your stomach. You're so humiliated. If you get to run into that Luigi, if you get to go to the house and you go into his room and he's just, I don't know if you were just under the covers wanting the world to end, and you got to talk to that dude for a second, what would you tell that dude? Now, knowing what you know now.
Wow, that's a good question. I think I will. One, I will tell him what the Uber driver told me, that he's loved. That he's loved. That God doesn't condemn him. And bro, I will tell him about how God came here and freed him from sin. Because that's what made a big impact in my life. So I know that would make a big impact into 2019 Louis. I will tell him that it's okay, that this has to happen for a reason, that I know you want to be, that you don't want to be alive right now, but you want to be here, that you want to resurrect like in a few years. But bro, you're going to enjoy this part, because this journey right here that you're going to experience is going to be the testimony of your life. And this is going to be the testimony of your faith in something that you're going to share to thousands of people. That's what I will tell him. And I will pray for him. I will hug him. I will hug him because I think that's what I needed during that time. For someone, just for someone to hug me.
Thank you so much, bro, for sharing your testimony. I hope we get to meet one day pretty soon. Congratulations on your upcoming nuptials, and thank you, bro.
No, thank you, dude. Thank you, brother. I really, really appreciate you. It's such an honor, and you have been such a blessing for our lives as well. Thank you for the podcast, because we've been seeing how God has been transforming other people's life, and it gives us hope that there is like so much more that God can do.
Amen, man. Thank you, brother.
Down, please God, just pour me down. I've seen faithful hand. No need to worry about my life. Peace of mind and knowing I'm found. I'm found. It's only you, it's only me. Waking up to memories. Your love is all I need. It's only you, it's only me. Waking up to no memory. Your love is all I need.
Give me life.